Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the time we can spend now together. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to concentrate. But Lord, we pray above all that your Spirit will be at work in us. And that, Lord, you will illuminate us, show us your word and your will and your ways. And Father, make it personal to each one here today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in chapter 12. We spent a fair while in chapter 11, but in chapter 12, Paul begins to answer another question that the church had asked him about in regards to spiritual gifts. And he addresses the issue of the abuse of spiritual gifts and the wrong attitude that the church there had towards them. And I must admit that when I read this chapter and I was preparing for it, the temptation was to use this chapter as a platform to address this topic of speaking in tongues and miracles and the charismata side of life in regards to church today, and the difference between sign gifts, which I believe were temporary gifts for the early church as it was being established until we had the Word of God, which was a more sure prophecy, as we learn in the Word of God, as opposed to permanent gifts, those gifts for the ongoing ministry of the local church given to every believer throughout church age. And so I wanted to use this as a platform to start discussing that, because this is a debate that is ongoing today and very much alive. But despite that, we're not going to look at this at this occasion, mainly because this isn't the topic in chapter 12. I'd be taking a topic that wasn't here in chapter 12. You see, Paul isn't explaining how there are sign gifts that are temporary and then there are permanent gifts for the local church. That's not what he's talking about here. He's looking at how people there at the church had the wrong attitude towards spiritual gifts. And they were abusing the gifts that God had given them. And I want to make it very clear that I do believe there were sign gifts that aren't for believers today. And I'd put into that category tongues and interpretation of tongues and gifts of healing and gifts of miracles and gifts of prophecy where you foretell the future. And I see these as sign gifts that were temporary in nature. Yet I do believe, if you're wondering, God can still heal people. God is still in the business of doing miracles and healing people. But I don't believe he gives individuals that gift of being able to lay hands on people and heal them. That gift of healing is not a gift for today as it was with the apostles and others. But I do believe God can still do miracles and heal people. We just don't have to find the person that has the gift of healing to lay hands on them. And if someone was to ask me, can God gift someone to speak in another language that they previously haven't learnt? Well, I would be happy to say that it's the same God today that we worship that gave those gifts in the past. And God hasn't lost the ability to do that and give gifts in that way. He still has the power. And I'm sure that on occasions, when needed, he's given someone the ability to speak in a language that they haven't already learned. I'm sure there's stories of people being able to do that. But I do not believe it's a gift freely given to individuals like it was in the early church. Definitely not. And I certainly do not believe that what many charismatic churches say are the gifts of tongues is what it really is all about. So just to say that first up, because I know people will probably ask me that question or those questions. But today we're going to look at chapter 12 and some of the important facts about spiritual gifts that we all should be aware of. Something that I have found very common in most local churches is most believers understand that God gives spiritual gifts and he gives them for the ministry of the local church. But what I do find is many are not aware of what their spiritual gift or gifts are. And then even those that are aware of their gifts don't use them in the local church. Most stop short of knowing what gifts or gifts God has given them. And this can be proven to be very frustrating for people who attend the local church. You know you should be serving the Lord. But sometimes it's frustrating to know how God wants you to serve Him and where God wants you to serve Him. And I believe one of the keys to get rid of all that frustration is work out the spiritual gifts that God has given you, and that'll be a clear indication of how God wants to use you and where He wants to use you. If you don't know what gifts you have, well, then you're going to be frustrated. You're probably going to be trying to serve Him in areas where the Lord hasn't even gifted you to serve. I know when I went to Bible college, one of the clear things that was taught is if God is calling, was calling me to be a pastor, well then He would have given me the spiritual gifts required in order to be a pastor. He wouldn't have been calling me to be a pastor if He hadn't already gifted me. And so that is one way to confirm, or was one way for me to confirm my calling into the ministry. Has God given me that gift of being a pastor and ruling and teaching? They were pretty three essential gifts that you need to be a pastor. Do I have those gifts? If I don't, well then I'd be foolish to pursue this idea of being a pastor. And there have been many people who aren't gifted to teach. They can't pastor, can't rule, but they go and become a pastor and they are very frustrated in the ministry because they're doing something that God has never called them to do. What they need to do is find out what gifts they really have, and that would be a clear indication of where and how God wants to use them. And that's the same for you as well. So the first thing is knowing how the Lord wants to use you, or the first thing in knowing how the Lord wants to use you is knowing what gifts He's given you. And I'd encourage you to read this chapter here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and read chapter 12 in Romans as well, and read Ephesians chapter 4, where the three passages where the spiritual gifts are mentioned, and ask the Lord to show you which gifts you have, which ones He's given you. If you're not sure, still come and ask me. I'm happy to help you to discover what spiritual gifts you have. It's generally obvious, or you can test gifts to see if you have them. I was pretty sure I didn't have the gift of teaching, but that was when I had never taught. You generally don't know if you have the gift of teaching unless you test it and then you also practice it. And it'll be soon evident. And that's the case with many gifts as well. But don't remain ignorant. That's the worst thing you can do. Now, in regards to this passage, instead of going verse by verse, which is very tempting as a preacher, what I wanted to do is use this as common ground to answer some common questions that people have about spiritual gifts. That's how I'm going to approach this chapter. That means I'm going to miss a lot of things that are there, but I do believe this is probably more beneficial for you, answering some of the common questions that arise about spiritual gifts. And when we answer these common questions, we're going to look at most of the verses that are found here. First question that people have is, who decides who gets what gifts? Who decides? Like, can I ask for a particular gift? If I'm not happy with the spiritual gifts I have given, can I pray and ask God to give me some extras that I would enjoy using? Can I go to someone and they can lay hands on me and they can give me some extra gifts, like some people teach? Who gives the gifts? And do we get to choose? Well, we're told very clearly that God is the one who gives the gifts, and He gives it according to the way He wants to use us. You know, if you have a look at verse 4, this sets the picture for us. It says, now there are diversity of gifts, different gifts, but the same Spirit. So Paul explains there are different spiritual gifts that God gives to people, but it is the same Spirit that gives them out. They all result from the same Spirit. Verse 11, we see this, but all these worketh, that's all these gifts worketh, that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. So here we see that the same Spirit provides or hands out these gifts to every man severally. That means individually. He gives each individual gifts in the way that he wants to use them, but it says, as he wills. And so it's according to God's will. God decides what gifts he's going to give you. It's not the person receiving the gifts who decides, it's God giving out the gifts who decides. It's not like when you're coming to the end of your schooling life, go to the careers advisor and they sit down and they say, look, these are all your options. You choose which path you want to take and get trained in that area. It's not like that. God doesn't say, well, here's a list of all the gifts. You choose which one you want and I'll give it to you. No, God has a plan for you. God knows how he wants to use you as individuals and he will gift you accordingly. And in preparation for the way he calls you, he will gift you. And Paul actually refers to the potential problems that could arise if we all decided on what gifts we got. Because generally, we'll pick the gifts that maybe are the most attractive or the ones that seem the most attractive. If we all want to choose our gifts, everyone will probably be doing the one thing, because that seems to be the most popular. And he talks about that in verse 17. He says, if the whole body were an eye, everyone's saying, I want to be the one that sees everything. So everyone's an eye. He says, well, where are the hearing? If the body, our physical body, was just one big eye, that would prove to be very difficult. We'd be just rolling everywhere with one big eyeball, all right? But we wouldn't hear anything. We wouldn't smell anything. We wouldn't be able to get to many places. He says, if the whole were hearing, where is the smelling? If no one wanted to be the nose, I'm not interested in being a nose, all right? I'd get picked on. Sorry. I was telling myself not to say that, but it just still had to come out. No one wanted to be the nose. I want to be the ears. So you get pretty things dangling off. I guess you do on your nose too these days, but anyway, it's much more nicer to be an ear or a mouth than a nose. Well, that would prove to be difficult in the physical body. And Paul explains that that is the same with the spiritual body as well. You know, if everyone wanted to be the teacher, well, then there'd be no one to learn anything. If everyone wanted to be the ruler, which I think everyone would want to be, all right, where everyone would be bosses and there would be nothing done because there'd be no helpers and no servants, all right? Or if everyone just wanted to serve, but no one actually wanted to make decisions, nothing would get done, and so on. And so, the Lord knew this would be a problem, and so he says in verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And he goes on to explain how this is referring to spiritual gifts, because down in verse 28 it says, and God hath set some, right, this is the setting in the body, in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, and so on. And so, the Lord decides what part he wants a person to play in the body of Christ. And then he gives them gifts to be able to fulfill that area of responsibility. So it's the Lord who divides out the gifts and sets a person in a position. And so don't bother asking for a gift. Just find out what your gift is or gifts are and then go to work using them for the glory of the Lord. So that's the first thing. Who gives the gifts? God does. Second question, or there's two in this. When are the gifts given? And who are they given to? Let's think of the first one. When are they given? Now, it does need to be said that there's no black and white answer for these questions. It doesn't say you receive your spiritual gift at salvation and all who are saved definitely receive a spiritual gift. It's not written like that. But I do believe it's made quite plain in the Word of God and even here in 1 Corinthians that that is really the issue. You see, if you are a part of the body of Christ, that is, you're saved, well then, you're a living member of his body. The Word of God talks about that quite often. There are no residual parts, like not needed anymore in that regard. There are no parts of Christ that have no function. No parts of God's body or Christ's body that has no function. If you are saved, you're in the body of Christ. If you're in the body of Christ, you have a function. If you have a function, well then the Lord's going to gift you to be able to do it. Don't think that coming to this local church, you can just come and God doesn't expect you to do anything. That you can just come, listen, go, and not play any part. That's not what God's design is for a local church. You come to this local church, this is your church, well then God expects you to do something here. And He will expect you to do something wherein that He has gifted you to be able to do that. And we know in this chapter that Paul is talking to believers, and we find it very clear that these gifts are for everyone in the body of Christ. It says there in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Not, it doesn't say given to some or most, but every man. Now that's talking to the believers. All right, it's not every man out in the world, but everyone in the local church. Verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man. Now, that's, ladies, that's not meaning you miss out. That's a generic term, everyone. Don't sit there and say, well, I missed out. That's obvious. God didn't give me anything. I can do nothing. No, everyone, the Spirit gives it to every person. If you're a part of the body of Christ, then you're a living member. You're not some attachment that has no purpose that just flutters around in the wind, all right? There is a purpose for you being here. There is a purpose that God wants to use you in His body, the local church, or the body of Christ. Now, we know with our natural body, there are small parts and there are large parts. There are noticeable parts and there are unnoticeable parts. There are more parts of some than others. You know, when it comes to tendons and muscles, there's a lot of them. But we only have one mouth and one tongue. We have two eyes. Most of us have 10 fingers or 8 fingers and 2 thumbs, all right? But we've all got at least 2 arms, at least. But there are more members of than others, but they're all required for a body to function to its full potential. And that is the same in the local church. Some of the gifts are more noticeable than others. There are probably more gifts given of some gifts than others as well, but all are needed for a church to function properly. There are too many churches that are struggling and they got no arms because people don't even know that they're an arm. And so they're not working as an arm or whatever it may be. And the churches are just not functioning the way it ought to be. Because people don't know what they are, let alone willing to use it. And so who gets gifts? We all get gifts. When do we get them? And I believe it is at salvation. You know, we call them spiritual gifts because they are a result of the Spirit of God dwelling within us. That's where we get them. Now, we don't have the Spirit of God before salvation, but He gives gifts for us when we get saved. And we shouldn't confuse them with natural talents or the fruit of the Spirit. They are two things as well. We all should be showing the fruit of the Spirit, and we won't go there. But then there are also natural talents that we get from birth, which aren't a result of the Spirit of God dwelling within us. And we need to see the difference there. There are many people that are very gifted musicians and artists and singers, and they can be wonderfully gifted before and after being saved. Now, what are they? I call them just natural talents. I believe they are a gift from God still. Every good thing is a gift from God. And they can and should be used for the glory of God as well. But don't confuse them with spiritual gifts. You know, don't think that being a one-way leader is a spiritual gift. Right? That's not found in God's word. Don't think that being able to play the piano is a spiritual gift. It's a gift from God. It's a natural talent. But you're probably going to be able to do that even if you weren't saved. Being a good gardener isn't a spiritual gift. But all of these things can be used for the glory of Christ within the local church. While spiritual gifts come from God, they are for His glory, and they are received at the new birth, that spiritual birth. And they can be used for the glory of God as well, and they are designed to be used for the glory of God. And so don't think that the gifts that you received of the Spirit at salvation... Oh, what was I saying there? I got a little bit confused. That's what I was going to say. Often, the spiritual gifts that we get are often in line with our natural talents as well. Where you'll find that if somebody is very practical, it's not a surprise that they get a spiritual gift of being a helper or a service, a serving gift, where they want to use their gift in that manner. And the reality is, one of the most common gifts in the local church is that gift of helps and serving, because that's the one that's needed throughout a local church. And I'm not going to get off the track of looking at all the other gifts that are available. But the question is, well, who gets them? Everybody who is saved. When do we get them? We get them at salvation. Why are they given? You know, too often today, as we have become so self-focused, where everything seems to be about me and what I can get out of things, we often have the same attitude in regards to spiritual gifts. But the reality is, spiritual gifts are given not to make us feel good or to feel important. These gifts are given to help others and to be a blessing to others. They are given for the benefit of others. And that's why I have a serious problem with the teaching that tongues is a special language that you're able to use in private when praying to the Lord. Because that goes completely against what spiritual gifts are for. They are not for ourselves. They are given for the ministering to others in the local church. And if you look at the gift of tongues in the Word of God, that's what it was used for others, not for themselves. But it says there in chapter 12, verse 7, we've read this before already, but it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." It is given to profit everybody. Now please turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, and we do have this even more clearly explained to us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. It says, this is the topic of spiritual gifts, and I'm just going to jump in where it says, "For what is the purpose of these gifts?" It says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." We see here there is a threefold purpose to spiritual gifts. And your gift will be used in one or all of these areas in the local church. It is for the perfecting of the saints. That is, to help every individual grow in that maturity in Christ. So your gift may be to help others grow in Christ. Or for the work of the ministry. That is, we have the workings of our local church, and your gift may be used to make it work, the functioning of the local church, the work or the ministry involved here. Or thirdly, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to be an encouragement to others here, to be that one that shows mercy when mercy's needed, to exhort when exhorting's needed, and so on. You're there to encourage and edify the local church, or you might be there for the whole three reasons, but that is the purpose. And so the gifts that we receive are for other people's benefits. They are used to edify the church. And so what that means is your spiritual gifts are for my benefit and for the people sitting around you. That means if you don't even know what your spiritual gifts are, you're obviously probably not using them, and so I'm missing out. And those around you are missing out on some benefits that God had planned in using you. Just say I thought, oh, I don't have the gift of teaching, I can't preach, no. And I never wanted to test to see if I had it, I never interested in that. Well then people miss out in one way or another. Because I would have been a 47-year-old and I'm still wondering, I wonder what my spiritual gifts are. I don't know. I don't think I've got any. But I was willing to try and discover what God had gifted or how He had gifted me. And then go to work using them for His glory. God's done the same for you. And He wants you to be using them. If you're not, I'm missing out. And so could you please find out what they are and start using them so I can enjoy the benefits. And sadly, many churches are like a body who has a leg that's refusing to be used. You drag this leg around everywhere. What's wrong with your leg? It just doesn't want to be used. It doesn't know it's a leg yet. One day, hopefully, it'll work it out, and then it might actually do its job. All right. So you've got to drag this thing around. And that's very similar to a local church. When helpers don't help, when teachers don't teach, when givers don't give, when evangelists don't witness, well then this whole church suffers because people aren't doing their responsibility. They don't know they're a leg yet. And so they're not doing the job of a leg. And those who are using their gifts then generally have to take on the job that they weren't gifted to do. And that can be very difficult as well. And the body of Christ is not functioning the way that should. And so please, could you know how God has gifted you and then use it in this local church so our church can function to its full capacity? Now, coming to church today, I saw this guy walking a dog and obviously he had lost a leg and he had a metal leg and he was walking his dog. It's amazing. But sometimes we have to put things that weren't the first design to do the function. I'm sure it enables him to walk the dog, but I'm sure there's plenty of things that false leg can't really do. And there are some people that are serving the Lord in areas that probably where they're not gifted. They're doing a job, but it's not the same job as one who God has truly gifted. You need to find out what your gifts are for that purpose. But there's one other important thing to understand in regards to gifts, and it won't take long, all right? And this is important to know. It's important to realize that when God gives a gift, it's not one size fits all. Here is the gift of teaching, all right? Everyone gets that same gift. And it's exactly the same, or whatever it may be. And this is where we see verses 4 to 6, and I'll explain it to you very quickly. It says in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We've seen that. Different gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. Verse 5, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Administrations means ministries, or ways the gift can be used. So even though there's lots of gifts, let's think of the gift of exhorting. There are different ways that gift of exhortation can be used. But it also goes on to say in verse 6, and there are diversities of operations. That word operations means potency or ability as well. And so even within the spiritual gift of exhorting, there's a different potency as well, where some may be far better at exhorting than others, but it doesn't mean you haven't got the gift of exhortation. So I'll use the gift of teaching. Some get the gift of teaching, but it's not one size fits all. there are different administrations, that is, different areas where it can be used. Some may use a gift of teaching to teach the children. That's one way it can be used. Some may use their gift of teaching to adults in a church setting. Some may use it in a different way of lecturing and teaching in that form. And so there are different ways to use the same gifts. But also there's a different operation or potency or ability within that gift, and that might be the reason why they're being used in different ways. You see, this person over here with the gift of teaching children, they may be very gifted to teach to children, but boy, they can't teach adults. That's where their gift lies. Others may be very good at teaching adults, and that's why they teach adults, but you put them with 8-year-olds and they're gone. Right? That's not where their gift is. There's a different potency. It's made of a different sort of, has a different ability. Well, you might have someone over here who is gifted in a manner of teaching where they can teach adults, they can teach children. They can even go to the lecture rooms and teach those people as well. And so there is a different potency of it. Yeah, think of the gift of giving. You might have two people with the same spiritual gift of giving. But one gives lots of money. They're very wealthy and they give lots of money to missionaries overseas. That's the way they use their gift and the potency. They give lots. It's amazing how much they give because God has blessed them to have lots of money and they use it in that way. Well, you might have this poor person over here and they have the gift of giving. You think, well, how can they use their gift? They got no money. But they use it in a different way. They may be wonderfully gifted in gardening and they grow all these vegetables and they're able to help the poor people in their community or within the church and they're able to give vegetables and help people out that way. They have the same gift of giving, but it's used in different ways and there's a different potency or ability within that gift. But it's the same. And so don't think, well, I'm not rich, so I obviously don't have the gift of giving. All right? Or I can't teach like that person, so I obviously don't have the gift of teaching. Or I can't do this like that person who has that gift, so I mustn't have it. No, there's different ways it's used and a different potency. Or in another passage in Ephesians, it says that he gives grace according to the measure. All right, there's a different measuring out. It's not like when a Ford Falcon comes out of that production line, they're just dishing them all out. You get a Ford Falcon, it has the same amount of power and all the accessories. Gift of giving is like that, or the gift of teaching, or it's all the same with the same amount of power. No, it's everyone has a different potency of the gift. So, God knows how He's going to use you or wants to use you, and He'll gift you, and He'll gift you just right for that area, that sort of ministry, and for who you have to deal with. See, it was made very clear to me early on that some people have a gift to teach and preach way beyond me. And at first that used to really discourage me. Why bother? There's so many people better than me, so why bother? But then I had to realize, but this is the gift that God's given me for where He wants to use me. So what we can be sure of is God's called me to this church. So He has gifted me to be able to pastor this church. I know that much. To teach you what you need to know, to preach and to rule and to pastor within my measure of this gift. That's all I can rest in. And when the Lord asks you to be used in some area within this local church, He has gifted you for that as well. And so, there's different gifts, different ways it's used, and different abilities or potency of it. And Paul explains these things to the church of Corinth. Spiritual gifts weren't for their own pleasure. It wasn't for their own benefit. It was meant to be for the benefit of others. You've got a gift, use it for them. And it's the same for us. We've all been given at least one spiritual gift. And I would encourage you, work out what it is. And that'll show you the areas where He wants to use you. and then seek how you can use your gift in that area. And then our church will be functioning to its full capacity. But until you know what your gift is and you're using it, it's not working to its full capacity. One day we might see that. Then we'll see wonderful things take place in our church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you that, Lord, you love us. You've gifted us. You've given us wonderful talents. Lord, we thank you for the talent of people being able to sing. That's a beautiful thing. And Lord, I thank you that we can use those spiritual gifts, those natural talents, to be a blessing and to edify each one here. And I pray that each one of us will not be selfish, but Lord, want to use these things for the benefit of others so that we may bring glory to you here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.